This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
McElroy has his masterpiece.
You know, there were points in my career where I didn't know if I would have this nice garment over my shoulders, but I didn't make it easy today. I certainly didn't make it easy. I was nervous. It was one of the toughest days I've ever had on the golf course. In a funny way, I feel like the double bogey at the first sort of settled my nerves.
Yeah, we all didn't think this could happen. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I think it's one of the biggest upsets that we've seen in sports that Rory didn't choke in this Masters. He completes the career slam. Welcome to the show, Maggie and Perloff. Hey, bro.
He choked three times. What are you talking about?
I know he did, but I'm saying he didn't choke in the playoff. I mean, he choked on 18. He had the putt right there to win this thing, I guess, in regulation, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And then had to go to the playoff, and he was spectacular in the playoff hole, the sudden death hole. I mean, that was a master class. But in some ways, it kind of wouldn't have been a Rory, like, full catharsis if he had just run away with the final round. If he had won this thing by five strokes and there was no doubt, and he was just leading all through the back nine, I don't even know if it would be as sweet. It'd be sweet because
it's been
a decade since Rory has won a major, and obviously yesterday was his first Masters.
Yeah,
and
but
courtesy, thank you, CBS, for that sound.
Do you think if you gave Rory a choice, he would definitely take the former? He would love to run away from that. I love that he admitted he was nervous, because that's the best part about this, watching him stand over putt, knowing the amount of pressure. I don't know if there's anything in sports, there's more pressure, because in other sports, you're running around and you're moving. In golf, you're just sitting there over that ball. And I can't remember a shot with more pressure because of everything that had gone behind it for Rory. I mean, he had to hit that putt on 18, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think bottom of the ninth inning, two outs, is the maximum amount of drama that we can have in sports. Like, you know, if tie game or something like that, or to win, because again, there's a stillness about it. You're absolutely right. But golf, you're the only one out there, right? And so you're the one, and you're battling the elements and the course. And the course yesterday got really slick. It was really fast. Bryson DeChambeau really, I don't say he blamed that for how badly he did yesterday and kind of falling back. But this belongs to Rory now. And, you know, there's a couple ways you can unpack this. One, was everyone rooting for him yesterday? I'm a little curious about that, because once the train wreck starts to happen and there's a possibility of a car crash, like, we're human beings. Did you almost want to see, like, no way, he can't do this again, right? He can't choke again.
Yeah.
But then when you see the emotion and the tears when he does win it, because at first I was like, wow, I'm just kind of curious, how would this guy even respond if he chokes yet again? But then the catharsis of it, you know, that was a nice thing to witness. Like, you realize how much angst had been pent up.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm not a Rory guy in particular. But I seem sometimes a little preachy at times. And also, you know, the Ryder Cup stuff. I totally have no strong opinion one way or the other.
We know you're an Auburn guy.
Yeah, I'm Auburn guy, yeah. No, I'm but I did, again, I wanted to see him flounder a little bit. I wanted to see it because
you got that when he went into the bunker.
I did not want to. All of a sudden, I was like, I don't want to see him run away with this. We need some drama. We need some drama. But then I admit, when he dropped on his knees at the end, I was like, oh, thank God. Yeah. I felt some relief for him. And he was great after the match. That was real emotion, which is all you could ask for.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. And, you know, we're asking you this morning, again, a couple different things about Rory. How'd you feel watching it? Because it was tense, even from just, you know, sitting on your couch. And then, was this like the greatest monkey off your back situation that we've had in sports? And we've had a lot of guys who've had to wait around to win their first ones, right? It took Michael Jordan 7 years. It took LeBron James a long time. You know, John Elway, Peyton Manning, guys who felt like they were kind of tortured, like they were destined to win. Rory's was very different because Rory was already a four-time major champ. It was just that elusive career slam and the Masters green jacket. But he was already known, and he is like one of the great golfers, the face of the tour. He has all of this. So it's a different type of unique torture than obviously the choking that goes into it. His own choke at Augusta in 2011, where he had a one-shot lead heading to the back nine and shot a 43 on the back nine. You go to St. Andrews 2022, led by two with nine holes to play. He lost. The U.S. Open, yep. L.A. Country Club, 2023, led by two strokes with five holes to play, lost. And then last year, in painful fashion at Pinehurst, these are all painful, the U.S. Open, he bogeys three of his last four, misses those short putts on 16 and 18. Bryson DeChambeau wins by one stroke, and Rory is seen peeling out of the parking lot, doesn't talk to the media, and it was like this big dramatic thing, and he didn't speak publicly for like a month. After that. So this one felt like one of the biggest monkey off your back moments, but is it the greatest?
I think it's better than the Michael Jordan and LeBron because, you know, Michael Jordan and LeBron didn't come really close to winning a title. I know LeBron made the finals, but he got, you know, swept, I think, by the Spurs. And Jordan never won his first finals. This guy was so close, 2011. That is 14 years ago.
Oh, I know.
So in relation to just the Masters, I think this is a way bigger monkey on the back. It feels like Elway, because Elway was at three Super Bowls and lost all. He got killed in all three. It was a little different. But I think this is much bigger than those guys. Because Jordan, LeBron, now that I look back, that was inevitable. It was just a matter of a few years they were going to do this. Rory, I felt like it was never going to happen. And even there were moments on Sunday where I was thinking to myself, God, this guy's never going to win this stupid tournament. It is unbelievable. Like, he just cannot. There's so much pressure that's built that he will not be able to hit the closing putt.
Yeah.
Even that last putt in the playoff, I'm like, oh God, this is so easy. Not a given after what happened last year, the tournament you mentioned.
Yeah, Pinehurst.
Yeah, this is one of the all time. Again, because also it's an individual sport, not a team sport. At least there's no one to look at other than Rory. I think this is an all time monkey off the back. I can't even think. For me, if I was going to categorize this, I need another individual sport where a guy just had all the pressure on him. Yeah. Couldn't do it. Nothing really jumps to mind.
Yeah, I mean, tennis would be another one, but like Andy Roddick eventually won. I mean, and all the greats, like they seem like they stack these, like, you know, grand slams.
Can you imagine if a guy was in the fifth set of Wimbledon three times and came up short and never won the tournament? That would be brutal.
Yeah, it just seems like everyone eventually takes their turn. This one, and again, it's a weird one though, because Rory is a winner, but I don't think he was thought of as being, well, I think it was more about him being a choke artist than it was about him being a winner, quite frankly, until yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
And I think for a lot of people, and I'll put myself there, I said this one time and it came out sounding so stupid, but you're not a winner till you win. I think that he, you know, will now forever be kind of remembered differently because it feels like now it was all worth it. All the pain, it meant something. You know, like you went through all that hardship, but you came out on the other end and you got the green jacket. And by the way, Rory's 35. You know, what does it look like for his career moving forward when he doesn't have all this extra baggage? And he doesn't have all of these bad memories. You know, the most recent one is going to be the best one. The scar tissue loosens up a little bit, I think, once you finally get something like this. And it's not like Ray Bourque or someone who just rides off into the sunset. You know, like Elway came back to win the second one. But this is not the end for Rory. 35 in golf. This dude's playing at least another 5 years, at least.
Oh, my God. I mean, Phil won a major at 50. So, especially the way golf is now. But, you know, one thing he did lose was the ability to chase Tiger's major record. Jack Nicklaus's major record.
Yeah.
So, I think that's going to be tough because there aren't that many guys who've won majors in their 40s. So, he'll have to say, and also the field is crazy right now. I mean, you still have Scottie Scheffler looming that I don't think it's, I think Rory is, I don't think he goes on a run of like six majors, but it feels like he'll get a couple more easily off this because he's playing, he was dominating coming into this tournament.
Yeah. And that's the weird thing. I saw that someone wrote this yesterday. How could someone so blessed also be so cursed? And that really was like the Rory story until yesterday. I don't think now we're going to look back and the headline is going to be, wow, Rory McIlroy, what an all-time choke job. I think now it's Rory, what an all-time perseverance, gritty, overcoming it, having to play all those mental mind games with himself, having to reinvent himself and become a different kind of player and put himself in this bubble. And he's talking on Saturday about, I just can't check my phone. I just can't check my phone. Like, he's admitting all of these pressure and pain points that have been there through the past, and now he overcame it. So I'm curious if people think this is the biggest exhale monkey off your back that we have in sports. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Yeah, I'm going through the sports in my head. I'm trying to think of baseball. Is there a guy who finally won?
Well, we're going to talk later, and we can do this a little about who's next to get the monkey off their back, because there's guys now who are dealing with maybe not, you know, exactly what Rory has gone through, but we're getting there.
Yeah. I'm thinking my guys in the 90s who couldn't beat Jordan, like Charles Barkley, he never got it. There are a lot of guys who never get it.
I know.
I mean, Rory had some major wins, but it could have easily, you know, we easily could be talking about him blowing it again today. A couple inches this way. I thought so, too.
Until he hit that second shot in the playoff, I thought, because Justin Rose, and congrats to him, if you can say that, the second back-to-back majors he comes in as the runner-up, right? And he's awesome, and I was gracious in defeat and all of that stuff. But, you know, he was also amazing off the tee in the 18th hole.
Yep.
He was great. You know, he just left it a little bit, like a little bit of a fatter putt that he needed, you know, to any part, but to make birdie, and he barely missed it.
It was
amazing.
It was one of those days. If you were following on social media around when Rory was at about 10, everyone's like, well, this is over. The tournament's over. Then maybe 16 minutes later, he's tied for the lead with Justin Rose. It happened so fast. The double bogey that he missed that putt.
Yeah, double bogey at 13. It's
amazing how fast this whole thing could change, because everyone's like, oh, it's done. And they were wrong.
888-710-4ISN, yes.
I was going to buy breakfast for everyone if I took 13 stabs in the dark, bet about between $3 and $5 on 13 golfers to win.
Only 13?
Only 13.
Why'd you stop at 13?
Well, the only one... Well, I actually thought about Rose, and for some reason I didn't go there, but my best bet was Oberg. It was
Carnage. You've lost money a few times on that guy.
Yeah, I mean, but eventually he's going to win. He's only 25.
That's true.
He's fantastic, so he's definitely going to win. It all fell apart. Can I just list you some of the golfers?
Yeah.
Some of them were...
we don't get breakfast now?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Victor Hovland, I don't even know if he ended... Was he there? Did anyone see Victor Hovland? Lucas Glover, I think he got caught in traffic somewhere. Phil, I didn't see anything from him. Wyndham Clark was +8 through one day. Yep. No, it was bad. It was real bad. Shane Lowry gave me a little hope. It was terrible. I'm like, if I bet on 13 golfers, somebody's got to win. Oh, I even had Scotty in there. And no.
Wow. That's a lot. That's like amazing, actually, to go 0-for like that.
Well, no, I think it's a good betting philosophy. If any of them had won, all the odds were like, a lot of these guys were 80-1. So breakfast for everybody, if any of them had hit, I would have won in a big way.
Oh, man. I didn't realize what could have been.
Oberg was going to get you guys food. But then Manny texts me. He's like, well, did you bet on Rory? I'm like, no, Rory was like 3-1. That can't get fresh squeezed orange juice for OJ. for EJ.
Yeah.
Like, you know how expensive these guys are for breakfast?
I know. Well, listen, if EJ doesn't have the fresh squeezed juice, he needs the Bev. We all know this about EJ. If it's not fresh squeezed, just get out of here.
Golf is a fun sport to bet on because it is unpredictable. That is stressful. If you had a big bet on Rory, can you imagine the emotions you went through?
You know what one of my favorite parlor games is, like after somebody wins? is trying to figure out who are all these people he's hugging. Like, obviously the wife, we get that, and the daughter, and like the other golfers, we know who they are, like friends that he has. But everyone else, I'm like, who's that?
There's an old guy in a green jacket. I don't know if it was a member, like a member or former golfer. Yeah, there's a lot of weird people.
Because like he's been around for a long time. So he's got probably like a pretty big entourage of people, because he like definitely hugged his wife and they had their issues but got back together. So that's like a happy story. But then there's another woman that he hugged like very long at the end. And I was like, is that the wife? Maybe I got the wife wrong.
The wife is the one.
She's the one in the white hat.
White hat. Okay.
And then he hugged this other woman and I was like, maybe it's like her sister. It's, I don't know who it was, but it was like a long embrace. Anyone else know?
I mean, I watched it. I didn't know what was going on, though. I was like, I don't know who any of these people are, but happy for them.
Yeah, it's like agent, probably.
Yeah, I thought maybe publicist, something like that. Yeah. Like, those people are very close to athletes.
I like the Justin Rose, Rory hug.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was...
sportsmanship.
That seems like those guys are legit friends. To see Justin Rose be happy for him, even the second playoff he's lost at the Masters, that's a... God, he's 44. He probably won't be back. That kind of stinks.
We talked about great sports traditions last week. I think one of them also is, you know, the previous champion giving
putting the jacket on.
Because that also is one of the best moments, I feel like, in sports.
Yeah. Because you know these guys, I always think they secretly hate each other.
Right.
Not all of them. I'm sure there's some genuine friendships, but it's a really hard place to be because you're competing against everyone and you don't get to that level unless you're just an absolute killer.
Well, Scheffler walked off really fast. I don't think Scheffler has any enemies on the course.
No, but did you hear Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah, Bryson,
I know Bryson,
sure.
Like, can, you know, he rubs people the wrong way and all that stuff. And he's like the man of the people and the fans love him. And we'll talk about his tournament in a little bit. But I don't know how much the players love him. He said Rory didn't say a word to him the entire round.
Well, he had that famous feud with Brooks Koepka. Yeah. I obviously all the golfers, half the golfers hate Brooks. I mean, Bryson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward next season.
He's shorter man of the people. I think he's still quite polarizing, even among golf fans.
He's high-fiving everybody. Yeah. He's throwing golf balls to people in the crowd. I don't know. I think people like it.
Can you imagine, though?
It's
can't
a pirate.
A vendetta against Scottie Scheffler. I watched a documentary.
Who, the Kentucky police?
Yeah, when Scottie Scheffler got arrested, every single golfer was like, I cannot believe that man just got arrested. He is the most sort of neutral person there is. So I don't think Scottie and Rory, they're too nice. There's no way.
I don't know. You're right. Scottie got the hell out of there. But you also maybe don't want to be in the shot that much.
No, I think he wanted to give Rory
his
moment.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a funny thing about that tradition is you sort of have to share the space with another competitor because they're handing out the jacket.
And then they do the interview after, and it's like, here's the low amateur. And here's
love that guy.
I love that too. I love that.
There's some dude who we found at the University of like Alabama who's here now. Anyway.
Shot a 7 over. Here you are with the winner.
I think he's always really sweaty. He's got the bad golf tan.
I always think about how do they keep Butler's cabin so clean and pristine, and it looks like there's a fireplace when all that chaos is going on right around. There's 100 million people right there, and you go in the Butler cabin, it's like,
hushed,
nice, relaxed.
It's got to be a green screen.
It feels like a TV
the
set.
The whole thing. It is a TV set. I mean, the whole thing is, they're piping in the bird noises. Like, they laid on
Maggie,
so thick. That's legit. That's not a conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
No, CBS admitted that. It's not like crowd noise. It's not a competitive disadvantage.
There were some loud, I think there are real birds there. There were some loud ones yesterday. I don't think that was all piped in.
The birds were actually mic'd up.
Little mics?
Yeah. Totally.
Come here, birdie. Let me get this live on you.
Or a boom mic up in the tree.
888-710-4ISN. Is this the greatest monkey off the back moment that we've seen in sports for an individual athlete? Because I'm seeing a little in the chat about fan bases. We'll get into that.
Ooh, that's a good one, too.
Very, very different. See you guys on the phones. Today's about you. How did you feel watching Rory yesterday? Hang tight. We're going to get to you in just a moment. Again, 888-710-4ISN. It's M&P.
All right, I'm going to say it, Maggie. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. I could have hit some of those putts that Rory missed yesterday. Now,
where, mini golf?
If I'm alone at mini golf and there's a windmill present, it's just amazing to me that at certain moments, these elite golfers who could do things that no human should be able to do are like the rest of us because of the pressure. I mean, you saw it, the anxiety. It actually, God bless Rory, talked about how nervous he was. So it's amazing to me just coming down that back nine, what must be going through your head? I do not know how Rory managed it on Sunday, because I would have, all that pressure for so many years, whether it's 11 years, never won a Masters, career Grand Slam. It is incredible. I think it's more than even baseball. I think there's more pressure because it's just you. There's no, you're not running around. It's just you and you in your head. I think it's a unique experience with golf, and God bless Rory that he got through it, but he almost did not.
No, he didn't, because he definitely blew that putt on 18 that led to a playoff, and he was perfect in the playoff. But to regroup like that.
To regroup is amazing.
It just couldn't have happened any other way. There was no way this was going to be easy whenever it did happen. Let's go to the phones and talk to you. We're asking if this is like the greatest getting a monkey off your back in sports that we've seen at 888-710-4ISN. Rory completes the career Grand Slam. Bill's in Houston, big golf fan. Bill, how'd you feel watching Rory win yesterday?
I thought it was compelling television, and it was great. I remember Phil Mickelson, if I'm correct, he won a tournament as an amateur, as a college player, and then he took him 12 years to win his Masters, and I still remember him jumping up and down three or four times on 18. So that was a monkey off the back on the tour. The coverage yesterday, my wife and I actually sat down and watched golf, which we never do that, but she said they don't ever show Justin Rose. They just show Rory walking. They even mentioned yesterday, oh, Rory is hydrating and snacking now. And she goes, who cares, right? You know, let's watch the other golfers. So I love Rory winning that. And he was so emotional. It was great TV. But to me, Phil was the biggest monkey off the back in my mind.
Yeah, so, Bill, it's a great one. Yeah, it became the Rory show. And I think it would have been a little bit more like Bryson and Rory, but Bryson just was leaking. Like, he just...
Yeah, exactly.
Tough round for Bryson. He fell out of contention. But then Justin Rose was right there, and it was like, all right, so we do have a foil, but Justin Rose just doesn't have the... You know, maybe the name recognition, but he's not one of the faces of the tour.
No, absolutely not. But also, Rose wasn't really right there. He hit the birdie on 18. Nobody knew Justin Rose was going to be in the lead. It was, right. I think people thought, oh, Oberg's got to catch him. Otherwise, Rory's going to, you know, fly this. And honestly, if Justin Rose didn't hit that long putt, then he wouldn't have been in there either, because Rory had the win. How about this for a monkey off the back? Tiger Woods in 2019, a lot more to it, but 09 to 19, does that qualify in the same vein as what Bill just said about Phil Mickelson having to wait 12 years to win the Masters?
Man, Tiger, that felt real. To me, that felt fluky, the 2019 win from Tiger.
And but still, the amount, it proved a ton because he'd gone through so much.
It was like his third comeback. You know, we're talking about all the life that happened to Tiger. And a lot of life happened to Rory, quite frankly, over the last decade. Not to the extent of Tiger. Look, to Phil, though, for a second. So Phil turned pro in 1992, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did not win his first major until 2004. Came in second at the U.S. Open. This was like Phil's, like, was just tortured at the U.S. Open. 1999, 2002. 2004, 2006, 2009, 2013. That was always crazy, but did not win. It was the first was the Masters in 2004. So, yeah, I think Phil definitely counts there for a monkey off the back. Jeff's in Minnesota. Jeff, good morning. You had an issue yesterday. You didn't like what you heard.
Well, yeah. Welcome back, Maggie, and happy Halloween to you all.
Appreciate you.
I tell you what, I started yelling at the TV after the first hole. And when Rory, you know, dropped two holes, I was like, what the hell are you doing, man? And my yelling didn't stop, of course. And then I started yelling again when Jim Nantz, you know, mispronounced his last name, McEnroy. I said, there's no N. There's no N in his name.
Wait, Nantz mispronounced. I totally missed that. Did you guys catch that?
Did not.
He called him Rory McEnroy?
Yeah, I called him McEnroy, and I said, it's McIlroy. And everyone's mispronouncing his name. I said, my gosh. I mean, the guy just won the Masters. At least get his last name right.
Well, but Jeff, you got to appreciate Jim Nantz. He's obviously about to stop calling the Masters any day now.
Yeah, I know. He's getting up there. I used to play Golden Tee Golf, listen to him all the time.
Bogus gets that joke. Because he announced he's retiring at 11 years.
Oh, I was what did I miss when I was away?
Yeah, Jim Nance had the greatest retirement. He was like, I am calling it quits in 11 years. So
that's amazing.
So, yeah. I didn't know.
Rory have won another major by then.
Yeah, Nance is like, it's coming to the end here. I'm only going to do this through 2040. Seriously, it's
gosh, yeah.
We got to give people a heads up on that stuff.
Yeah, it was great watching Rory McIlroy win that Masters finally. I mean, what a great kid.
Jeff,
from nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, they went through it all through yesterday about his dad not having enough money for him to keep hitting golf balls off the driving range. And he said, hit every ball like it's, you're trying to win the Masters. Thank you for the call. I'm going to have to go back now, and I have the whole thing DVR'd to see if Jim Nance botched. Nance is perfect. I mean,
I am weak, Tony.
He never gets stuff wrong.
Yeah, I would not take your time to go back on DVR for that if I were you. Me.
I mean, I've talked
you out of this.
Hey, folks.
How are you?
Still haven't watched that White Lotus finale, by the way.
Oh,
what does
I
that
know.
Mean?
Big Easy is in New Orleans. Easy, you made some money yesterday.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome back, Maggie.
Thank you.
Andrew, good morning. I just want to tell you that there was a site that I work with on an app, and it was given 8-1 in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And, I put something small, but 100. It was paying almost 8-1, so I was getting, pretty good odds on that. But after Thursday, when he went from second to 26th, that went up to to 20-1 because he was 26, even though he was 7 shots out after the double play on 15 and 17 on Thursday. So I doubled down and put another C note on him. And needless to say, yesterday my wife just couldn't even be around me.
I'm sure you were insufferable. Listen, and how could you not be, right? You're on pins and needles. You're invested literally into Rory, and he's got this whole history of just being one of the big choke artists. Like, it's not John Vandeveld, but it's a more accomplished version of that. And you're wondering if he's going to do it again.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal, but I'm glad to have you back, Andrew. Good to see you here this morning. This is y'all have the best show on radio. And listening and watching.
Thank you, Big Easy. Appreciate you on this fine Monday.
Do we need a nicer term than choking? Because you're right, but I don't know. It felt kind of harsh when you said he's one of the all-time chokers.
Asphyxiating.
I don't think you could say that anymore about him, too. He kind of killed that label in one day. I don't think I don't think it feels the same.
No, because also think about now the company that he's in. To become another career Grand Slam, now you're being talked about with Tiger and with Ben Hogan and with Nicklaus and with Gene Sarazen and all these. You're in the inner circle now.
Absolutely. You mean total major wins? Is that the
career Grand Slam to finally win the Masters?
Six of them, a crazy number.
Nicklaus, Gary Player, like these are the Deion Sanders calls it the inner circle of the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
Like he wants a different room for guys like him.
Top floor, no doubt.
It's kind of like
do you believe in that?
Tiger's in there. Did I mention that?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting that we do that in sports, that we just, as soon as you win, like your past failures do kind of like wash away.
That's part of your origin story, I think, or not origin because Rory had won.
Sure.
But it becomes like part of your myth.
The lore. Yeah.
Yeah,
because I think about even like a Dirk Nowitzki. I think about John Elway, like all these guys. And it's so bizarre. Cause I feel like in anything else, we take your entire track record and say, well, you did win, but you also came up really small in big spots. But in sports, it's totally different. You win, you're a made man or woman.
Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning had a playoff choker stigma around him. Yeah, and then 10 years later, that's why I don't think Rory's choker status is going to stay anymore. I think this, in a way, ended it.
This is what we do. It's like we're so black and white sometimes. It's like, well, if you just win, well, now you're a winner. We're just going to say all that stuff was just the appetizer. It was the lead up.
Yep.
It, makes this even sweeter. The delayed gratification, all that stuff. It's just like, you're somehow better now.
If James Harden somehow wins a NBA title this year, all the stuff goes away.
Now that is crazy. Bogut is here.
Because if you do like really oversimplify it to the statement of he or she can't win the big one, and then they win the big one, you can't say that sentence anymore.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Even especially if they lose as dramatic it seven other as times, this one was.
Right.
This is so memorable. Again, if he had won by 8 strokes or 5 strokes or something like that.
Like he should have.
Yeah, I mean, he was running away with it.
Well, I think that would have been actually better if he had won by 8 strokes. Don't you think? A dominant Masters run, that could help too.
I don't know. I kind of like this one better.
That he had to overcome the nerves?
Totally.
I think if he had just cruised, that would have worked as well for Rory.
Yeah.
The jacket's still green, Maggie.
I know, but that's funny. But I think that people would have tuned out.
I think people also would have said that he didn't face real adversity if that happened.
Oh,
because that was the problem. Was that when he faces adversity is when he crumbles. That's the book on him. So if he wins by 6 strokes, all right, he won, but front runner. No one really challenged him, so it was an easy win.
But if we don't,
whether that's fair or not,
if we don't, at least we change where we leave those first couple of holes where he gave the lead back immediately and then won by 6, he would have accomplished the same thing. Yesterday, the bad start and then that run to get up by 4 through 10 holes and then he gave that right back.
Yeah.
We didn't need that part, and we didn't need 18.
Like, oh, I think we needed all of it.
No. He had the bad. He flirted with the choke early, recovered, and then had he cruised, fine. Yesterday was 2 up. There were like 3 valleys yesterday. We didn't need all 3.
Well, the missed putt on 18 in regulation was like, oh, it's happening. It became even more compelling. I think you needed every twist and turn.
Your headlines, by the way, are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Yes, it was like Rory didn't actually want to win the Masters yesterday with all those ups and downs, but he does finally get his green jacket on the first playoff hole with Justin Rose, who played in the previous Masters playoff. That was back in 2017, where he also lost that time to Sergio Garcia.
Unfortunately, the playoff, they always end so quickly. You know, that's sudden death. You don't really get an opportunity. If you're not the guy to hit the great shot or hole the great putt, you know, it's over. So I felt like that's the nature of sudden death, but not really anything I could have done more today.
Rose shot a 6 under 66, including birdieing 18 to be in position for the playoff, but he doesn't get the win. Rory does. He is the 6th now with a career Grand Slam, but none of the previous 5 waited as long as he did to complete it, 11 years. His last major was 2014 when he won the PGA and British back-to-back.
I can already feel the aura.
If you're going to, Maggie, go back to anything from yesterday, there was a point where Nance rhymed Rory and Glory. And then that led right into that 11 through 14 window where he fell apart again.
Oh, the jinx, so the announcer jinx?
Yes. That was on Nance. Mispronouncing his name randomly, not a big deal, but he did seem to curse Rory.
I agree.
At the beginning of the second 9.
The graphics department also had a hand.
Yeah. Yeah. They thought it was over.
Yeah.
Yeah. As he's standing over the putt on 18, the CBS graphic says, for the career Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Not good.
And then he missed it. They had
not
to, like,
good.
Wipe it away.
Yesterday was also the final day of the NBA regular season. The Western Conference had to settle seeds 4 through 10. The Nuggets claiming number 4. They won 126-111 win in Houston. The Clippers will be their first round opponent.
Clippers have 5 on 4. Dunn finds Harden. Sets up. 4-corner 3. Connects. Clippers lead for the first time in overtime. 114-111.
Carlo Jimenez on Clips Radio. James Harden scored 39. 33 from Kawhi in a 124-119 OT thriller at the Warriors. Losing drops Golden State to 7th, which means a play-in date with the Grizzlies. Anthony Edwards scored 43 to lead the T-Wolves to a 116-105 decision over Utah, which got them the 6th seed. The Kings end up 9th, the Mavs 10th. Jaylen Brown missed the Celtics finale with the Hornets because of his nagging right knee issue. Head coach Joe Mazzulla confirming Brown did receive a pain management shot recently, but that was to, quote, put himself in great position to be ready for the postseason. Rubber game at Dodger Stadium. The Cubs, a 4-2 win on Sunday Night Baseball. Pete Crow Armstrong, a pair of solo homers for Chicago. But before all of that, the Cubs said lefty Justin Steele is done for the season, needing elbow and forearm surgery. In the afternoon, the Padres blanked the Rockies again. 6-0. That's a 3-game sweep without Colorado scoring a single run. Oof. Their manager, Bud Black.
We've been carved up a little bit. The guy today was pretty good. They outpitched us. They outhit us this series. You know, we just could not get the bats on track.
The guy yesterday was Padres righty Michael King, a complete game shutout for him. His team becomes the first in 8 years to sweep a three-game set without allowing a run. The Pods also 10-0 at home this season. And from the NHL, the Flames beat the Sharks 5-2 to climb within 2 points of the Blues for the last wildcard spot in the West with two games to go. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up, lots more on Rory yesterday. We'll get into the Bryson of it all, too. DeChambeau just kind of falling by the wayside, and he had a really interesting story came out about him from Masters Week that I want to share with you guys as well. We'll talk about the Warriors and what this loss yesterday means for them. Maybe a blessing in disguise, and we'll a little Laker talk as well. It's M&P.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Move. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get back to Rory McIlroy in just a moment, Pro, but we got some NBA playoffs that are set now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, yesterday the Warriors lose to the Clippers, so now they have to play in the play-in game, a place they've been three times already and they've never won.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a little bit of history, but they have Jimmy Butler now. They are a different team. Here's a question for you. Of the Warriors and of the Lakers, who would a first-round exit be more devastating for, considering these are the two teams that made major trades at the deadline?
Oh, for me, it's definitely the Lakers because you have such a small window with LeBron. And also, too, you have bigger opportunity because you have Luka. I think the Lakers are a bigger threat with Luka Doncic there. So there's way more expectations on the Lakers. They've been really good since Luka got there. To me, the Lakers have to do it now, or LeBron's, what, 41 next year? He's going to do it then? What? So it's now or never.
I know, but LeBron doesn't age. Like, we got to put him in a different...
Well, at some point, though, Maggie's got to age a little bit.
Probably have literally been saying that for 10 years. It's not happened. They just got to let it go. Age is a number. Who knows what's going on, but his body is unique or whatever. So
a four-year window here? Is that what you're saying?
So I actually think it's the Warriors. I don't think it's the Lakers. I think a Warriors first-round exit would be more devastating because partially it's about the Lakers. You know, this Luka thing is just getting going. And I get what you're talking about with LeBron, but if Luka doesn't win, this was such a earth-shattering trade.
Yeah.
It will always be remembered as the season where Luka got traded. I don't think we're going to remember it. And also, by the way, it's the season where they lost in the second round or whatever. It will always be the shape-shifting trade for Luka going from Dallas to the LA Lakers. If they lose in the first round, I think we'd say, all right, they're still figuring each other out. That's it. You know, and we get LeBron will run it back and they'll change the roster and they'll get more size. And the T-Wolves might be a terrible matchup for the Lakers. You know, that's possible because they are a huge team. For the Warriors, you're talking about windows closing. Have you met the Warriors? They added Jimmy Butler, who's in his mid-30s.
Oh, you know, I know.
You've got Steph, obviously, who's ageless, but Draymond's not going to be around forever.
Draymond's ageless, too. He hasn't changed his game in 15 years.
I just think that that's a way older team, and I know they rely on the Pajemskis, and they have other guys who, like, you know, contribute, but this Warriors, like, do you think another year of Jimmy Butler being older, another year of Draymond being older, and even Steph, who, you know, again, is like an ageless person? I think this is setting up for the Warriors to kind of like come in and steal one. Plus, just a lot more chemistry overall, right? With the coach that's been around forever, championship DNA. I know Clay's not there, but they have the core and the nucleus. The Lakers, J.J. Redick's first season. Luka got there 6 weeks ago. Has it even been that long? I think the Warriors would be way more devastating in a first-round exit.
Oh, yeah, I think there's just so much pressure. It's the Lakers of it all. You know, they just they're the Dallas Cowboys of the sport, I think. And also, they're slightly ahead of them, Warriors at championship odds. I think if the Lakers lost in the first round, it would be cataclysmic.
You don't think people would explain it away? Ah, Luka, LeBron,
no.
They're still figuring it out.
Oh, my God. There's so many LeBron critics. Everybody is either mild or kind of like Steph. Jimmy Butler, I don't think he's really, you know, he's a bit washed at this point. I think for LeBron to get Luka and lose in the first round, I think would be open up a lot of room for LeBron critics. So you got that thing going on. No, you know, it's the Lakers. They, as big as the Warriors are, the Lakers take all the heat. We'd go after J.J. Redick. Not we. I would. But I think a lot of people would go after J.J. Redick. If they lost, especially to a T-Wolves team, you're right, it has a lot of size. I don't think that size will be on the court in the playoffs because Rudy is completely non-effect. Rudy Gobert is terrible in the playoffs. But I think that the T-Wolves are actually a really good team, but the Lakers have to win this. If they lose this, it is going to be, oh, Luka, they were right about Luka. That's going to come up, the Mavericks, that is, and
really?
LeBron's never going to do it. I think it definitely, if LeBron loses in the first round, I think people are going to be like, well, this is the end of LeBron James's window.
It's funny, though. Nobody said that really when they lost to the Nuggets. I mean, LeBron's had these first-round exits, and we're like, all right, he'll be back next year.
Right, because they weren't a contender. Nobody thought they were going to win that, right?
Yeah, maybe you're right about that. I'm curious, EJ, maybe can we throw this up on the poll question? Who would a first-round exit be more devastating for? And by the way, the Warriors have to play in the play-in now.
Yeah,
so
let's not write them into the first round. They're playing a Memphis team that has the same number of wins as them, and a Sacramento team, possibly, who has more All-Stars than them. So the West is bananas.
Yeah.
The difference between the 2 seed and the 7 seed is 2 games. All these teams are basically exactly the same.
Yeah, I get it. And I know that the Memphis Grizzlies sent the Warriors home in a play-in situation a couple years ago. But to me, this one's in Golden State. It's going to be different. I mean, the Grizzlies just changed their coach, you know, at the last minute. I guess, is that better for Ja Morant? I find it hard to believe that Memphis is going to win this one, but We're talking about a true first round matchup. So like the seven seed playing the Rockets, you know, like that would be the true matchup we're talking about. I think it'd be devastating for the Warriors. Beyond way more than the Lakers. The Lakers, we will explain away. Luka, like what's the difference if the Lakers lose in the first round or the second round? You know, it's to me, we're always gonna say, well, we just got the appetizer. We haven't even seen what's yet to come when Luka and LeBron could be full strength. And I think next year is when the real pressure goes on the Lakers, the real expectations. For the Warriors, Kevin just said it in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Warriors door shut. This kind of feels like if you're going to rip one off, and we talked last week before I left on vacation for a couple days about what a fifth title would do for Curry and how much different that would make his legacy. We're talking about Rory today with the career Grand Slam, shaking the choke artist. Steph is not that by any stretch, but what a fifth title going past LeBron in titles, what it would do for him. There's a lot of expectations on the Warriors.
I still don't see this, and EJ and I have been arguing about this for a month. Where is this path to a title for Luka in LA? Explain it to me very specifically, because LeBron turns 41 early into next season.
Okay.
Once LeBron is gone, that team is not talented. They're not good. It's even worse than the Dallas team. If you take LeBron off there, I'm sorry, Bronny at two guard is not doing it for me. And I know Austin Reeves is playing really well right now, but basically you're back to Luka and nobody in
LA.
Well,
you'd have to change the team. You have to reinvent your team.
Well, that's a big ask. I don't think it's a guarantee that Luka's working in LA. I don't think it's like inevitable, like Kobe in LA, that he's definitely going to win a title there.
Listen, I don't know if Rob Pelinka is like an amazing general manager. One really fell into his lap, but it just always seems like the Lakers find a way to pair stars together.
Right.
You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis. That no GM was responsible for that. LeBron, the GM, was responsible. Same with Luka. And I think the appeal of LA now playing with Luka. How appealing is that? I mean, the pull of LA has been going on for generations. They always find stars. But
it doesn't always work. Remember that SI cover with Steve Nash and Dwight Howard?
Well, that was really bad because Steve Nash's back, turns out, was like disintegrating before our eyes.
I can see them getting Giannis at 34 years old, and that could disintegrate.
34? How old is Giannis?
he's 30, turns 31 next year. I mean, I think they get an old Giannis at some point. I mean, I don't know. When is Giannis coming over this year? When is Giannis going to the Lakers? Does anyone have an exact date? It's definitely happening.
I'm sure you could get odds. I mean, listen, if the Bucks lose to the Pacers in the first round, then I think one of the biggest stories in the offseason is Giannis is basically telling us he's wanted to leave for a long time. He's laid the foundation, the breadcrumbs of, hey, Bucks fans, don't be surprised if I jump ship. I got you a title. And, you know, every offseason we do this thing with Giannis.
Yeah, I think this is like I think Luka needs to try to go all in this year. Like, this is a good opportunity because the Thunder are just going to get better. The Rockets are going to get better. There's a lot of young teams on their way up. I feel like the Lakers have more of a window. And the Warriors, you never know. Curry, you know, Butler's 35. You're right. He's not going to improve, but Curry could find the right combo. And they did it. And did you see anyone see them winning in 22? We thought he was washed a while ago, too.
888-710-4ISN. I don't know, EJ. I see a path. I'm assuming you do, too.
Yeah. I mean, me and Pearl talked about it last week. To me, Luka's age makes this year
25.
Yeah, it makes this year gravy. Whatever happens this year, you feel like, all right, like we got Luka Doncic, we won. But the Warriors, they made the Jimmy Butler move purely out of desperation. They wanted Kevin Durant, couldn't get Kevin Durant, had to settle for Jimmy Butler, a guy who was a malcontent on his last place and had been an injury prone player the last few years. So if you make that move and this results only in a first round exit, I don't know how that's not more devastating. With the Lakers, you can at least say, okay, we have a foundational piece that's going to be with us for the next 10 years, potentially. Like the Warriors, none of those guys that are their star players are going to be there for 10 years.
Yeah.
They're facing more of a rebuild than the Lakers are.
And I think they're just facing the end.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I thought that Steve Kerr was retiring like two seasons ago. I was wrong about that. But
I'll bet you guys lunch on this poll because you're forgetting one thing. It's the Lakers. We're talking about the Lakers, the Los Angeles Lakers. It's all anybody talks about. If they lose, it's going to be huge.
888-710-4ISN. Who would a first round exit be more devastating for, Warriors or the Lakers? Get back to Rory McIlroy's big day in just a moment. It's M&P. Don't move.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.